Welcome to the Republican Professor. I'm your host, Dr. Lucas J. Mather. I am coming to you from Southern California, and I just got out of the pool. The waterfall is on. That might be what you hear in the background. And I'm doing a V-cut on a Havana Nights, established 1981 Habano. The V-cut looks like this, and it's been working for me, so I'm going to light it up right now. You're going to hear a brief pause, maybe a little bit of a fire. I'll let you know how it goes. It lit up pretty well. It's not quite as good as the Havana Cuba that I had, a Cuban that I had with Rick Joyner in the summer of 2018 with Lance Wall, now TRP guest and father of one of my students. Yeah, I didn't really know who Rick Joyner was at the time. I asked him what he carried. He said he carried a 380. Anyway, he had a real Cuban cigar, real Cohiba. The only reason I know that is because I took a picture of it, and someone else told me, where did you get that? And I said, I got it from this guy who owns an airport. And they said, oh, that's why he has those. Ooh. It's smooth. But it's not as moist as the Cohiba that I had with Rick. That, it was in a clay pot, and I reached in, and what I remember about the clay pot, it was dark, but I remember that each of the cigars was fit perfectly in there, and it wasn't like symmetrical. Each cigar was slightly differently shaped. That's how moist they were, and you just reach in and pick one out, and it felt like, is this going to even light? It's so moist. It was so oily, and it did, and it was perfect. So I know that the Cubans suck at so many things, but man, they really do know how to make cigars. Again, we're doing Writer's Tears Irish Whiskey, not a paid sponsor. We don't have any paid sponsors, so I'm just, if I see a product that I like, I feature it on the podcast while I'm doing my talk. This hat is from Pizza Port in San Clemente. Not a paid sponsor, but I do appreciate their lunch. And I do appreciate San Clemente in general. I've been thinking a lot today about mentoring and the importance for young people. Actually, people of all ages of mentoring, whether you're young or old, mentoring. And I've been thinking about the mentors that I've had. Some of you might wonder, this house with your pool and your waterfall and your spa, it's not my house. It's one of my mentors, Dr. Doug Guyvett, who was a guest on this podcast. And I've been thinking a lot about him recently, just because we do house sit for them. We've house sat for them for over 20 years. And I've been listening to some tapes of Dr. Dallas Willard that are in his library, in his office downstairs. It's an office I've been using for over 20 years when I house it. And I've never seen this tape set before. I'm not sure how I missed it or if it... I don't think it was there. I would have noticed it. It's a tape set called The Ontology of Knowledge from 1997, summer, at Biola University at Talbot School of Theology. And if you don't know anything about the significance of this, Dallas Willard was the mentor of my professors, J.P. Moreland and Doug Guyvett. and Greg Tanelsoff and Steve Porter and Steve Smith and Scott Ray, and I can go on and on. And so when I saw this tape set, I hadn't got to Biola until 2002. I wasn't in that class in 1997. I was doing special operations in the United States Navy. I had just gotten married. It occurred to me while I was listening to it that I was on my honeymoon while it was being taped. And I heard Dallas Willard, who was for a long time professor at USC, I think for 50 years, was lecturing on the ontology of knowledge, and thankfully I was able to keep up with what he was talking about because I had gotten such great training there at Biola University. Thank God I had the class on 20th century analytic philosophy with Greg Tanelsoff in the summer of 2003, and I had had great training in epistemology with Doug Guyvet and Gary DeWeese, and great training in metaphysics with J.P. Moreland, and some training in logic with Rob Koons, who was a guest on this podcast. I've read Dallas, you know, I've read Dallas Willard, you know, he's a big name. And I was impressed by the following thing today. I was so impressed that Dallas was giving this class in the summer of 1997. And the people asking the questions were the professors in the department who invited him. They were taking the class too in the summer. I heard Doug Guyvet asking questions. I heard J.P. Moreland asking questions. I heard Tim Mosteller. I'm pretty sure that's who it was, Tim Mosteller. The reason I believe that is because I took a course from Tim Mosteller on the nature of truth. And I know that he had done his PhD under Susan Haack, H-A-A-C-K, epistemologist at the University of Miami. He had done his work at the University of Miami. I mean, he looked like he was a walking Florida guy. He was like so tan. And anyway, I didn't recognize his voice per se, but Dallas had made a comment about Susan Haack, who he preferred to refer to just as Haack, and mentioned a guy named Tim and said, "Hey, tell Susan blah blah blah." So I was like, I knew the reading was Haack, so I was like, okay, that's Tim Mosteller. And Tim must have been doing his PhD at that time. Anyway, I'm sitting there in Doug's office and in Southern California, and I'm surrounded by his books and his careful notes on things, and his demeanor is one of care. He's one that takes life seriously. He really cares about getting things right. And he's one of my mentors. And he was mentored by the best, Dallas Willard. The best. I mean, you can still see it. These guys have their PhDs and they're still learning from this guy. And Dallas goes through the history of philosophy and says, this is the problem here, and this is how this came about, this problem. And I went through, I'm not going to tell you how many tapes I went through. I was recording them on a digital recording because I wanted to preserve them myself, because he's my intellectual grandfather. I was mentored by him through these people. I never got to take a class from him. And I was really honored to be able to just sit there and take a class from him today. I went through 6 sides of tapes, recording them on my iPad. Thankfully, I remember enough from my memory. I only have a master's in philosophy. I'm not a complete expert like all these guys, but I am a master apparently, because they gave me a master's degree. But I did get great training, and I was able to keep up with what he was talking about. And I take that as a credit to the preparation that I got. I was able to follow the questions well. And I was stunned. Guys, I was stunned. From Doug's office, you can see the pool and the waterfall. It was a hot day. I was sitting there in his AC cooled office. He's got an AC in there, thank God. Looking at his pool. And I waited till getting towards sundown to get in the pool because it was so hot. And I was just stunned by the privilege I had of studying with these guys and being mentored by someone like Doug Guyvett, who is a master at philosophy. He's a master at epistemology and apologetics. I was sitting in the study of a master, and I was listening to him interact with his mentor, Dallas Willard, who was an absolute Jedi Knight in epistemology, in religious epistemology. Make no mistake about it. And I was reflecting on where I was when that tape was being made. I was at the Ka'anapali Hyatt Regency. Why do I know that? Because it was, the tape was labeled Tuesday, 27 May, 1997. And I was married on May 24th, 1997 in Denver, Colorado at Riverside Baptist Church. We spent the night, our wedding night, in Golden, Colorado. We flew out either the next day or the day after. I'm pretty sure it was the next day. To Hawaii. And I do know that we had one night in the apartment in Waipio Gentry in Waipahu. Not the best. Waipahu is not the best town in Oahu, but Waipio Gentry is pretty nice. Before flying out to Maui to the Hyatt Regency. And that's where I was when that recording was being made. Why am I telling you all this? Because I was doing special operations in the United States Navy. I was on leave at the time that particular tape was made, but I quickly had to come back to the office, which was about 100 feet underground in the middle of the island there in Hawaii, the Del Monte pineapple fields, the base closed down by Edward Snowden's antics. I cannot believe that. Still can't believe that, but different topic. And I think it was not that Friday. It wasn't that Friday. It couldn't have been that Friday. It wasn't that soon, but it was maybe the Friday after. During that course that Dallas was giving in Southern California, when I went to a department picnic on NAS Barbers Point, and at that picnic, my boss came up to me and he said, gave me plane tickets. He said, "You're leaving tomorrow." Leaving? What do you mean? I just got married. Yeah, you're leaving tomorrow. Here's your plane tickets. Get packed. That's what special operations was like. Didn't know where I was going. Couldn't talk about it outside the skiff. Couldn't tell my wife anything about it. I was on the plane, a Gulfstream G5 the next day out of Hickam Air Force Base. Yeah, anyway, I didn't even know what a Gulfstream was.
Recording in progress.
Sorry about that. My wife just came home. I had to have a brief talk with her. Anyway. On that plane, I was talking about the Gulfstream. I mean, these memories I have, it feels almost fake. When I tell you, when I say it out loud, it feels like it was somebody else's life, but it actually was my life in the Navy. I was very young. I was only 22. But you know what I had in my sea bag? I had books by J.P. Moreland, and I had books by Doug Guyvett, and I read those while I was deployed on special operations. And here I am sitting in the guy's office listening to him interact with his mentor. It's all coming to a head here in my reflections of mentoring and the importance of mentoring. And what I want to get through to you here is not the particularities of my life. I mean, who really cares about the particularities of my life? What do you have a mentor? And if you're old enough, are you a mentor to somebody else? Are you passing it on? I think of my mentors. I think of Gordon Lewis from Denver Seminary, who mentored Dave Horner, who's still a mentor to me because we go to church together. I think of Doug Guyvett and J.P. Moreland, more Doug Guyvett than J.P. Moreland, just because we know them so well as a family from house sitting for them for so long. The mentors I had in the Navy, Chief Ken Merritt, who later retired and went to work for NSA. Can I say that, Ken? Is it okay for me to say that? Are you retired from NSA? Ken was there when Snowden was there. There's other mentors too. I mean, you know, from the special operations, special projects community. I don't really want to mention their names, but there are people I think about sometimes. Yeah, I probably shouldn't say too much more than that about that stuff. But do you have a mentor? Are you seeking out a mentor? Have you ever sought out a mentor? Has it been important to you ever in your life to have a mentor? Do you even know what that looks like? And I'm talking about a healthy relationship where there's something you're trying to get. That's a part of a tradition. It's a part of something external to yourself that you're a part of. That's important. For me, studying epistemology, especially from a Christian perspective, trying to get that right. Now, I mean, when you study epistemology, you want to get it right regardless of what, where you're coming from. But I don't think you can really get epistemology right apart from the Christian tradition. Maybe you can. So that's my angle there. Your angle is going to be different. But this, the focus of this podcast is on government. We're listed as a government podcast. I don't do culture and society or whatever the other terms are. But whatever your field is, do you have a mentor? Do you have a mentor in terms of family relationships? Maybe it's your dad. For me, it was my grandpa. Grandpa Mather, James A. Mather. We recently buried James A. Mather, Grandpa Mather, in Ventura, California. Actually, it was Ventura County, Camarillo. The person who did the eulogy was named Pastor Rob McCoy, who was mentored by Grandpa. He mentors Charlie Kirk, the founder of Turning Point USA. My grandfather mentored the pastor and mentor of the guy who founded Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk. That's who what my grandfather was. That's who mentored me. I can't stress to you how important mentoring is. Now, I'm a Christian, and so I come at this from a Christian perspective. We would love to get stuff directly from the Holy Spirit. Boom. There. That's just not how God operates normally. God operates through people. Now, God does directly deal with people. I'm not saying that. I'm a Protestant, and so I believe that. Even Catholics believe that. All my Catholic friends are like, what do you mean, even Catholics? Well, you know, I'm sorry. I mean, I know we're all in the same tradition, but you guys do appear to us Protestants to rely awful heavily on external forms for that. And it makes us uncomfortable, but I get it. God interacts with you through the forms of the liturgy and all that. I get it. I believe that too. And as long as you don't deny justification by faith, not of works, of course, true faith does include good works because of James in the scriptures. Okay, we're on the same team. As far as I go. You're going to have to come to your own beliefs about the scriptures and all that stuff. And so as far as I can understand, that the Protestants have that right. You're going to have to come to your own beliefs on that. You're going to have to own it. And I know that Catholics have a way of understanding that through confirmation and all that. But all that to say, it's a little bit of inside baseball there for Christians, but we would love to get the direct communication from God all the time, but sometimes God uses other people. In fact, I think He always uses other people, almost always. Think about how we're created. We have parents. The parents are supposed to teach us something about the world. And grandparents. We have the wider community. Brothers, sisters, cousins. There's a way that's supposed to go. And that there's a way that that oftentimes doesn't go. And you guys know what I'm talking about. Think of Moses, okay? Take a paradigmatic example from the Old Testament. Moses. The first five books of the Bible are called the Law of Moses. In Exodus, he's directly confronted by God in chapter 3, the burning bush. Remember that? I think it's chapter 18, though, of Exodus, where Jethro, his father-in-law, says, "Dude, I got some wisdom for you, man. You're doing too much. You need to delegate." Jethro, a pagan, says that. See, that's what I'm talking about. Even in the scripture, from a paradigmatic example of someone who'd heard directly from God, Moses, he still needed help from other people who were older and wiser than he was. And Exodus is not usually classified as wisdom literature in Old Testament studies. And yet you have Jethro throwing down some wisdom. And it's recorded in Scripture. I didn't want to make this very long tonight. I just wanted to say that you need to have a mentor. More than one, preferably, and you need to also think about being a mentor to other people. Look for opportunities. I'm so grateful for the mentors that I had. In government, I had Michael Uhlman. Gene Schrodel. Ralph Rossum, who is a guest on this podcast. Joseph Bissett, who was on my dissertation committee. Ralph was the chair of my dissertation committee. Michael Uhlman was on my dissertation committee until he died. He died while I was writing the dissertation. While I was researching it, anyway. He was replaced by Ken Miller. Didn't really get to know Ken very well. Can't say he was a mentor, but I do appreciate his book, Texas and California. Oxford University Press. Great book. I used it in class, political geography. Guys, I could say a lot more about this, but let me know what you think in the comments. I'm going to enjoy the rest of this cigar. I'm going to show you the name of the cigar again. It's Havana Nights, established 1981, Habano. The whiskey tonight is Writer's Tears, Irish whiskey, coming to you from Southern California. Take care. Today is 7 August, 2025 years after Jesus. It's a Thursday. God bless you guys.